Welcome to the Pancast.
Come have a blast, step on the gas, smack a giraffe, it's the Pancast. Come talk fast, pass some gas, make it last. It's the Pancast, 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 hey man, it's badass. Pancast, Pancast, hey, it's the Pancast.
Hello and welcome to the Pancast. My name is Patrick and I am your host this evening. I host every episode of the Pancast as usual, so don't expect anyone different this week. We do have a special show tonight. I've got a good friend. He's the front man of the Flux Capacitors. It's the greatest 80s music meets Back to the Future. Here he is, Tyler McDonald. Hello, sir.
Well, hello, Mr. Patrick Mahan. Long time no speak.
Long time no speak. You and I go way, way back to when Rock Band was relevant.
It's still relevant. It's coming back, isn't it?
It's coming back, and that's probably why we're having this interview. You know, we only talk when Rock Band is popular.
Our relationship outside of the Rock Band universe just does not exist.
Yeah, so when Rock Band goes away, we go our separate ways. We go away completely. We used to be in a rock band of sorts. We were called I Know Right. And this is literally a rock band. We played Rock Band and we're a real band. We were in a competition once, or maybe we just played at a competition, if I recall correctly.
My apartment.
Yeah, back in our college days. Yeah.
What happened was someone in our class had challenged me to a Rock Band rock off.
Which was a mistake.
It's a big mistake, because no possible way this other person was going to win.
Right. That was a big-time mistake. And I guess our band was just the headliner of the party, the event. You know, I don't know that I could still play. I played drums in this rock band. I haven't played it probably since that time period, so I don't know if I'm still good at the game. But I used to love playing. My favorite song to play, I think, on Rock Band was Tom Sawyer on the drums by Rush. I loved playing that song. That was a lot of fun.
It's kind of like riding a bike. You know, once you know how to do it, you just know how to do it forever.
Right. Well, I'm curious to see how the new game goes, because, I mean, I'm going to want to play it. I'm hoping someone other than myself is the one that purchases it, but...
you sound so guilty about knowing you're going to want to play it.
No, I know. I know I'm going to want to play it. It's easily one of my guilty pleasure games. I have a fondness, like a good nostalgic feeling about looking back on, especially from that time period, just because we played it so much. And we were good. Maybe we can have a reunion tour one day.
Oh yeah, man.
find old Kevin Morse and Drew Lewis, who could be anywhere these days.
He's in Austin, Texas these days.
He's in Austin, Texas these days. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's doing magical things, I'm sure. but we really need to find our manager. He's off on the ranch somewhere. Earl Babbage.
Oh yeah. Oh, how is Babbage these days?
You know, I haven't heard from him in a minute. He's really, really busy on the ranch. He likes to keep to himself, for the most part. It's so good. He sends me a case once a month. He actually sent me a really nice case and a nice wooden box for my wedding. He gave me a limited edition Earl Babbage brand barbecue sauce that I've never opened or used because it's sacred. I'm pretty sure. It's actually sitting right here next to me, here in the Patlanta studios. So anyway, I want to talk Flux Capacitors with you.
Let's talk,
if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So take me back to the beginning. You know, how did you guys become the Flux? How did this all start?
Well, I was the last one to join. I was scouted when I was at karaoke by a friend of the band.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to be doing the Save Ferris version of Come On Eileen. And,
nice.
Right? And this guy comes up to me and he says, hey, are you looking to be in an 80s band? And I said, I guess so.
You're like, I hadn't really thought about it, but I guess I will.
Now that you're here, I can, you know, sure.
Yeah.
Apparently, the other guys have said that they started the band after our drummer and our bassist's previous band dissolved.
Okay.
So they said they were doing original tunes, and it was like sort of an alternative rock sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know what, we want to do something else. We're going to do some covers. And I don't think at that point they were specifically going to be 80s, but they just wanted to start playing covers. So yeah. they put the ads out on Craigslist, and our keyboardist and our guitarist responded to those and auditioned, and they made it. And then I was the last one. So
nice, you're the final. Together. You're the missing piece of that puzzle. You were the final piece.
I guess so. They had auditioned quite a few singers, and I guess I sucked. I sucked. Just how do I word this? I was just not bad enough to where right. to where they put me in the group.
It sounds like it was a match, a match made in heaven. Now, so you get brought in. So obviously, when they asked you, they already knew it was 80s.
At that point, yeah.
At that point, they did. So how did they already have Back to the Future as a theme for the band? Was that already set, or was that after you joined?
At that point, it was just a concept. Our drummer was sitting watching Back to the Future with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like it came to him. He was like, oh, Flux Capacitor.
Yeah.
And his wife turned to him and was like, as a band name? And he went, yeah. So
it's a great band name, regardless of if you're an 80. Like, it's just a great in general. It's just perfect.
Yeah. Taking you back in time.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, is everybody in the band like, I mean, that would suck if somebody just hated the movie. I'm going to assume you're all fans of the movie.
I think when we started, we didn't hate the movie, but now that,
yeah,
you're going to have to hate it a little bit.
Right, because, yeah, I mean, that's all, that's like the catch of this, it's like, that's what you are, like, that's what people are coming to see. It's like, oh, it's 80s music played by guys dressed up as cast members of Back to the Future. So that's like the whole catch, like, I would want to, I mean, I love Back to the Future, and so I would, you know, I would die to come see 80s music played by a bunch of guys dressed up in character, so that's, I think it's brilliant.
By Marty, George, Biff, Don, yeah. And, quote-unquote Lorraine.
Yeah, quote-unquote Lorraine, yeah. So did everybody just kind of pick their own? Because, I mean, it makes, if you're the front man, it makes sense that you're Marty. I mean, what does anybody else, did everybody just kind of pick who they wanted? Did anybody get shunned? Like, somebody really wanted Biff Tannen and, you know, they had to, like, draw straws for it or something?
Our bassist got Biff because he actually looks like Biff in the face.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
It was kind of a no-brainer for him.
Right.
Our guitarist was Doc. That was also pretty much a no-brainer. But our keyboardist and our drummer couldn't really figure it out for a while. Originally, yeah. Our drummer was going to be a hoverboard.
Oh, that would have been great.
This is the hoverboard drumming. Or he was going to be Einstein, or he was going to be, like, I don't know, a DeLorean or something.
Right.
And then we finally thought that if he cross-dressed as Lorraine, that'd be hilarious. So that's the way it turned out.
Well, I think that's brilliant.
And then our keyboardist decided to be George.
Mm-hmm.
And his first costume for George was kind of confusing because he was the 1950s George.
Right.
And I guess more people are familiar with how the 1980s George looks.
Yeah. So
whenever he was playing on stage, like, people would come up and be like, man, great costumes. Who's your keyboardist though? And we had this running gag. We were just like, oh, he's just a homeless. He was the homeless guy. He was the bum.
Yeah.
because he kind of resembled him.
That's funny.
But then, you know, he changed it and became 1980s George. And aside from occasionally being confused with Michael Douglas from Falling Down, he is pretty much widely recognized as George.
So when was your very first show, like, as the Flux Capacitors?
Oh, wow. Our very first show was
that. Were you already going by that name and, like, in costume, or?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
We had our costumes and we were going by the Flux Capacitors, yeah.
Wow.
Our first show was a private party. It was a Halloween party, backyard sort of thing. And that was Halloween 2 years ago at this point.
Right, wow.
And man, we were not prepared.
Yeah.
I think we put together like 3 sets worth of material, which is, I don't know, 39 songs.
That's a lot. Like that. Yeah.
And it got to the point where we were doing songs like Rock the Casbah, which has a whole lot of nonsensical lyrics in it. So
yeah.
I actually had forgotten my lyric book for that show. Our very first show, I'd forgotten my lyric book. Amazing. And
I
spent like 3 hours handwriting all of the lyrics that I needed to know and taping them to the front of our stage. And so from like side left to side right, it was just all pages.
Paper.
Yeah. How long did it take you to memorize, like, all these songs?
It comes pretty easily now, but at first,
I can only imagine.
Yeah. Took a long time.
So when did you start noticing that, you know, this was starting to become a bigger deal?
Interesting you should ask. We started playing this these events called Street Food Cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And Street Food Cinema is an annual event that is held in Los Angeles.
Okay.
It's this company that takes really, really popular and good movies and projects them onto a big inflatable screen out in the middle of a big field or like a park or wherever.
Nice.
And they park a whole bunch of street food or, food trucks around the perimeter of the place, and people can just go and get their food and sit down and watch a movie. It's a lot of fun. And so we started playing those before the movies, and we got to know a lot of the actual cast members from Back to the Future through that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Mayor Goldie Wilson, his name is Don Fullilove. He showed up to one of our shows previous to that and then showed up to the Back to the Future screening. That guy's hilarious, man. One of the funniest dudes I've ever met.
That's awesome.
We also met Claudia Wells, who was Marty's girlfriend, Jennifer Parker, in Back to the Future Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to that Street Food Cinema event as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we started meeting cast members, and we sort of started realizing around that point that Back to the Future wasn't just a movie that people liked. No, it's like a part of Americana. You know, it's a staple.
Not only
film history, but like people's own hearts. You know, there's such mm-hmm. a fan base for Back to the Future that's out there. And now we're going to be playing We're Going Back, which is the official 30th anniversary fan celebration.
That's this fall, right?
Yeah, that's in October.
October. Yeah.
And then there's a cruise that's also Back to the Future themed.
Oh, wow.
It's called the cruise, right? It's called the Cruise to End All Parkinson's, and that's happening in November.
That's great.
We will hopefully be playing that too.
That's cool. I'm assuming for the We're Going Back, there's going to be a lot of cast members there too, I think.
Pretty much all of them.
Pretty much all, yeah. So there's a potential of meeting Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. Or
I can meet that guy, yeah.
Yeah, or even like Robert Zemeckis or anybody. Like, it's just like I feel like the possibilities there are super endless for interaction with cast. You might meet Biff. You might meet Biff Tannen. Gosh, I can already picture it now. Just the pictures from that event. I might have to make a trip out there for that. What's the how do you get tickets to this thing?
If you go to weregoingback.com.
Nice. That's cool. Now you've said many cast members have been at shows, but there's also been like you've met band members of some of the songs that you're playing at these shows. You perform with the singer of When in Rome.
Oh yeah, Clyde Farrington.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Pretty awesome. Yeah. Trying to remember how we met him. Initially. Oh, we play... He just showed up one day.
Yeah.
We play at a collection of 80s clubs in Orange County and the Inland Empire. There are three of them. And the owner of a place called New Wave Restaurant knows Clyde Farrington. And he said, hey, you got to come check out this band. They play your song. And so we knew that he was coming, and we played it for him, and he sang it with us on stage, which was a lot of fun.
That's really cool.
From that, he's performed The Promise with us, I think, four other times.
Wow.
Live and people. And even most recently at this place called Club Cosplay, which is, as the name sounds, it's a place for cosplayers to go and party.
Right. Yeah.
And he sang that for someone's proposal on stage.
Oh, that's awesome.
Someone proposed on stage during The Promise, and that was pretty
that's
cool.
That's perfect. I promise you I will. It works. That's perfect. That's really cool. Is there any others that I'm missing? Or is that the only is he the only one you've played with?
Or have you met? No, we've met Dale Bozzio from Missing Persons.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. She plays around here a lot these days.
Yeah, that's cool.
We've met the members of Dramarama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just about super random. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, all of these surviving 80s band members just... they're just around.
Like, well, it works. I mean, you're in California, and you know you're based in LA. It's like you're bound to run. You know, who knows who you're gonna run into, and there's still like potential. You know, who knows who's gonna show up. You know, or like be around at a show, or who might know somebody. You know, from a band, or who somebody will catch your show and be like, oh, I'm good friends with the singer of this band. You should come check them out. So
I'm good friends with Danny Elfman.
Yeah. Danny Elfman shows up at a show to do a guitar solo. So who knows?
Hey Danny, can you sing Little Girls for us?
Yeah, and I mean, and you, I know I saw you guys are playing. You know, you guys have done some '80s themed parties in your day, but you're doing one for Rad coming up, the movie, right?
Oh yeah.
Sure. So that's awesome.
And the main actor from Rad is gonna show up too.
That's amazing. Classic 80s soundtrack. You gotta do. You're doing Send Me an Angel, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You have to.
What kind of band would we be if we didn't do that?
Yeah. True. True.
Bunch of slackers.
Yeah. So you said you know, you've got the big We're Going Back 30th anniversary celebration, but that's not the only big Back to the Future related thing. You guys are gonna be in the Back in Time documentary. Tell us how that came about.
Oh yeah. There's a guy named Jill Walzer who did the official restoration of the picture car DeLorean time machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a separate documentary for that. It's called Out of Time, which is in production right now. But Back in Time is a documentary that mainly focuses on the subculture that has sprung from Back to the Future, and, you know, the fan base and really nice story. You know, it's a lot of people who grew up with the film, showing it to their kids,
mm-hmm.
and just continuing the Back to the Future legacy in that way.
Yeah.
But we linked up with Back in Time through Joe Walzer, and it was pretty much just a natural fit from what we could tell, because, I mean, we're a product of that subculture. We're a product of that love for the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So, they came out to one of our shows and they shot it, and we're going to go do a sit-down interview for it pretty soon.
Nice.
But that'll be great. Yeah.
That's super cool. I can't wait to see that. And I love, you know, like I said, I'm a big fan of the movie, so I'm going to want to see that. And then, you know, once I see your ugly mug on the screen, I'm just going to turn it off.
I have great face for radio, I tell you what.
You've got a beautiful, beautiful face. So for radio, of course. As do I. This is the only job I can keep is podcast radio. So this next question for you. Now, I imagine that this answer probably can change frequently. So you can give me what you're currently really liking, or maybe just discovered, or your all-time favorite. I want to know your favorite 80s song.
Favorite 80s song?
Yes. That's a tough
man.
One. It's tough, I know. It's tough. You can give me a few. You don't have to give me one. You can give me a few. If there's some you're like currently just like super into.
Yeah, thank you for the few. That's a lot better than.
And maybe one. even under something you think's underrated, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I mean, the one that I'm into a lot these days is Bizarre Love Triangle by New Order.
Oh, so good. That's one of my favorite 80s songs.
Huge fan of that song.
Also, shout out to our buddy Carlos, who also really likes that song.
I mean, just lyrics alone are amazing, but I don't know. It's one of those songs where whenever I listen to it through headphones, I can just drift away somewhere else for a while.
Yeah. Do you guys play Bizarre Love Triangle?
We don't yet, but it's in the
wheelhouse. I like the yet. That means there's time.
Yet is going to apply to every song we talk about, probably.
See, I mean, and being in an 80s cover band, you guys have the potential, you know, you guys just can change sets all the time. I mean, if you go to your website, it shows a massive list of songs you guys do, and I imagine you guys can just pluck, you know, anything. You can add anything. You can learn something new, you know. Case in point, I mean, I think at one point you added Tarzan Boy, Baltimora, to the rotation.
You're gonna love this. I suggested Tarzan Boy because of your cover that you did.
Right.
That's a true story. I was on SoundCloud, and I got on the Variety Picnic, and there's Patrick Mahanahan's version of Tarzan Boy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a song right there. Why aren't we playing that? And so I pitched it, and everyone had the same reaction. So because of Patrick Mahan, the Flux Capacitor started playing Tarzan Boy.
Well, I'm glad I had, you know, a little part in that happening. Whenever I make it out to California and I come to one of your shows, I wanna hear it. So that's my one request. One request.
Your last request.
And my last request, yeah. Any other 80 songs you're currently into?
If I were to give you a few more, Hyperactive by Thomas Dolby.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Ruling my world these days.
Yeah.
There's a song called Automatic by the Pointer Sisters, which is
nice. It's
pretty great.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing that real soon, too.
That's cool.
Kyrie by Mr. Mister is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, yes. That that's such a good one. Can't go wrong with Mr. Mister.
No way, man.
Well, that's cool. Okay, so another question that I have for you, and I don't know if you've been asked this. I hope that I'm the first one that's asked you this. And if not, then whatever. It's fine. I still think it's a great question, so I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Okay, so if you guys were a 90s cover band, what movie would you pick to portray?
I'm going to answer that in a different way.
Okay.
Because we probably wouldn't pick any other film.
Right.
I mean, our shtick is a Flux Capacitor, which is what makes time travel possible.
True.
So, really, if we were to start doing 90s covers, we would just travel into the future and
there you go.
And do 90s covers.
Yep.
Use the Flux Capacitor to go into the 90s. Or the 70s.
I like that.
Or the 2000s,
yeah.
Or whatever.
2000, yeah. I like that.
Or even the 1880s. We could do 1880s covers.
But see, that's what you need to do. You need to go back to the Old West. And play it. You need to go play in some saloons. And be all of your characters from that movie.
We're going to start covering, like, Ave Maria.
Yeah.
This is some really old stuff.
Yep. I love it. I think it needs to happen. But keep the sense. You know, you need to keep the 80s vibe. Since you're going back in time, you have to keep that. It'll blow their minds.
Oh, a synth version of Ave Maria. That's an idea right there.
It's gold. It's gold. I think you need to work on that.
You got it.
Well, so what? The last question. What do you see in the future of Flux? You see this continuing for the foreseeable future? You don't see any end in sight, or what do you think?
Is there a cutoff point for Flux?
What do you see in the next, you know, couple years? Do you think you'll be partying with Doc Brown anytime soon?
Well, what's going on now, seeing as it is 2015, that's a very big year for Back to the Future.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I could see 2015 into 2016 even being really good for what we're already doing.
Yeah.
We've already discussed sort of the aftermath of the Flux Capacitors, and what we've come up with is we really want to start composing and recording modern day 80s style music.
Yeah.
So like bring the 80s sound back in a way.
Yeah, that's kind of been happening too a lot. I mean, you're hearing so many bands incorporate, you know, like 10 years ago, you'd never hear synths unless it was like the Killers were the first band ever heard like a synth come back in after like since the 80s. But like now you're hearing it a lot more and having more 80s sound. So it's like, it's kind of cool again to use that.
It's like everyone remembered that electronic sounds can also be musical.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. But we would probably try our hand at that.
Nice.
Composing, well, and putting out new 80s music, for lack of a better term.
Well, you guys would be good at it, I'm sure, and I have no doubt that would work out well for you guys.
I think so.
But whatever the future holds for the Flux Capacitors, I'm excited. Your fans are excited. The world is excited. And the whole world. And I wish you nothing but more success, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, not a problem. And I'm really happy you made it on to the PatCast finally. Finally. after all these years.
I wouldn't have it any other way, man. Like, I think this is my crowning achievement as not only a musician, but as an individual, as a person.
As an individual, yeah. Most people, actually, it's funny how often I've heard that after people have been on the show for the first time. So you're not alone. You're not alone in that thought. We want to have you back anytime. You're welcome back anytime on the show to talk about anything you want. You know, it could be anything. Anything.
Yeah. Anything I'll give you.
If you want to give me an hour of horoscopes, we'll do it.
I'll give you candy. I'll give you diamonds. I'll give you pills. I'll give you anything you want, $100 bills.
There you go. Love it. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today, sir.
You're welcome. And I'm real proud of you, and I love you.
Yeah, everybody go follow Flux Capacitors on all the social media outlets. They are they have some really good updates, good videos, good pics, sexy pics even sometimes. Well, not often, but sometimes.
That's facebook.com/FluxCapacitorsBand. We are also on Twitter and Instagram @#FluxCapacitors. You can also find our website, which is www.thefluxcapacitors.com.
Go follow them and have fun following them. And that's our show. Join us next Tuesday for another brand new episode of the PatCast. We do this every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on PatCast Radio. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We'd love to hear your feedback about tonight's show. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thePatCast, or on Twitter, twitter.com/thePatCast. I'm Patrick, and thanks for listening tonight.